The information presented is for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are not necessarily the opinions of any Daikin company. This information should not be confused for accounting, legal, medical, or other professional advice. Please seek advice from a qualified professional for any specific questions.
Welcome to the Accelerated HVAC Success Program. My name is Ben Middleton. I'm the National Sales Training Manager for the Daikin, Goodman, and Amana brands. Today we have Jennifer Bagley with us, CEO and founder of CI Web Group. Jennifer, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me today.
You know, it has been so much fun. We've done so many different things together, but over the course of the last 6 years that we've known each other, you guys have literally talked to thousands of HVAC contractors and done digital strategy sessions with them, just really looking at everything that they're doing with their digital marketing strategy. What are some of the common issues or concerns that you see when you're looking at these various different websites and doing these strategy sessions?
So we're going to need a longer podcast. I'm just saying. The list is long, but there are a lot of similarities. Out of the gate, I mean, the biggest challenge is not knowing what they should be doing and not having visibility to whatever they are doing right now. There are a lot of agencies that are claiming their strategy as proprietary or withholding information or withholding access to analytics or paid ads accounts. And sometimes they actually are in a position where the agency owns everything. They own their website. They own their local listings accounts. They own their directory listings, their call rail account, in addition to their analytics and sometimes even just their content. So, you know, I think one of the biggest challenges is first, these guys really having an understanding of what the terms and conditions are of those agreements that they're signing. A lot of times they're just signing on the dotted line, not reading anything, and are not comfortable or familiar with some of the language or terms that are inside of there. And I think that's a big struggle is, number one, ownership. Number two, visibility. And number three is accountability. You know, how do you hold somebody accountable for something that you're completely unfamiliar with? Mm-hmm. How do you know the activities they should be performing on your behalf? So I think that's a huge challenge. As we go market to market, there's other pretty significant issues that come along. So one of them, for example, is they'll sign up with an ad agency that in the middle of Ohio, and they signed up with an ad agency. They want to sell more heat pumps, and the ad agency took $20,000 a month and launched a billboard campaign, an SEO campaign, a radio campaign, all about heat pumps. The challenge is when you do a market forecast and you a demand forecast and you analyze what are people looking for in that market, there were zero searches for the term heat pump. So it's kind of like waking up tomorrow and you didn't know that ketchup existed. And I want to sell you ketchup, but the only thing you know is mustard exists. So instead of trying to market something that no one's looking for, ketchup doesn't exist, I would get in front of you because you eat mustard. And I would market mustard, for example. And when you get there, when people find you, then you introduce them to a new product. So, you know, a lot of times they're using agencies that are unfamiliar with the HVAC industry specifically and how manufacturers are marketing in different communities or areas. You know, if you revert back 8 to 10 years when the term ductless didn't exist and there were no searches for ductless, the same thing had to happen, right? Manufacturers invested in marketing and branding for the term, and then it caught on in specific areas and consumers started looking for ductless. So I think, you know, when you implement marketing strategies without having data to back your decisions, then you wind up burning and churning cash for something that consumers may not be looking for. And it's interesting because as you dive in on those strategies and you start analyzing what do they have available on their website, and you start looking at the demand forecast, what are consumers actually looking for in that area? You can have one city right next to the other city, and in this city, people are heavily looking for heat pumps, and in this city, there's not a single search for a heat pump. So, you know, it can't be this blanket kind of guess. And a lot of times, if agencies don't have 12 years experience working in HVAC, the agency is listening to the dealer or the contractor, and the contractor is saying things like, I want to get found for heat pumps. So everything they do is related to heat pumps. So I think that's, you know, a big challenge is if you're hiring somebody that doesn't know the industry, doesn't know the consumer market, isn't leveraging data to be able to determine exactly what consumers are searching for, the frequency of those searches, then it's really hard to create a strategy. You can't utilize a one size fits all strategy across the board. So I think those are some of the things that are the biggest challenges.
Yeah, and I know I've sat in a lot of your presentations, and you talk about other things quite a bit. You know, we talk about furnaces, right? For some people, some markets, furnaces are what people look for. Other people, it's heaters that is what they look for. And, you know, we talk about air conditioners, and so many people say, well, I want to be found for cooling. Nobody ever Googles
cooling.
And so you're absolutely right. You need to make sure that you're available where the customer is looking. And if you're not an option, well, then you're not going to get that customer. You have to be an option when that customer is there.
So 100%.
The other big challenge we have in our industry right now, too, is contractors looking for good people to come and work for them. Mm-hmm. And how does that tie into the digital marketing strategy?
So it's the same philosophy. If you look at people looking for jobs or look at homeowners looking for a solution for a broken air conditioner or to upgrade to a higher efficiency system, both typically have the same process. What do you do when you need something? I go to Google, I do a search, I probably skip the ads, may or may not click on the maps. I definitely find a website on page one of Google, and it's no different when someone's looking for a job. They're going to go to Google, do a search, and they're looking typically for HVAC technician jobs in blank in that location. So when you're implementing your marketing strategy, we can't just focus on lead generation, sales, and marketing. We have to account for the HR, the operation, and the people part of the business as well. So if you're looking at a map, and on that map you're trying to identify how do I want to acquire additional market share, additional households as customers, or how do I want to grow the business, whether it's vertically or horizontally? Do I want to add additional services? Do I want to add additional locations? I have to account for people. So one is having a job board on your website that's searchable, not an embed code job board that's provided by a third-party company that's unsearchable, but literally one job description for each position you want to hire for in each location. Technically, your SEO strategy for services you want to sell, repair, service, installation, maintenance, tune-up, replacement, and so forth, needs to also line up with your job strategy, your recruiting strategy. When those two things happen at the same time, you can actually get kind of a guesstimate of, based on the number of competitive pages that are inside a search drawer, how long it's going to take you to get to page one of Google if you've got a killer SEO team that knows what they're doing. And you can create those job postings, get them listed, oftentimes be gathering resumes as your ranking is climbing. When you get closer to the top of Google, hopefully by then you've got enough job submissions, candidates that you've interviewed, you've hired somebody, you've got them in training. And by the time you move into that top 10 positions and you start to have lead flow, now you have people to be able to do the work. And, you know, I think that's a big challenge across the board is when you're working with an agency that all they know is marketing and advertising, and they're not looking at it from an entrepreneur standpoint. How do I evaluate the entire business needs and calculate for those human capital the same as I look for lead generation? That creates a lot of problems. No different than when they hire people and don't implement or modify their lead generation strategy, and they hired somebody that's 20 miles away from the office. Those people wind up leaving because they don't have enough leads in their area to be able to fulfill, you know, keep them busy.
Right. And so, great. Now you've figured out, you know, am I an option? I've done that part and I'm showing up. Am I an option? The next big problem or challenge that you have is, you know, are they going to like what they see when they get there? And or am I going to scare them away? Right. Can you talk a little bit about bounce rate, what that is, and why that's so important when you talk in terms of content?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's tie all these pieces together. Yeah. So we have the total number of visitors to the site. How many people do you have coming to the site? for each individual service in each individual location, AC repair in blank, whatever that city is. How many people do I have coming to the site that are landing on that sales page for that particular location? What is my bounce rate? So if I have a 50% bounce rate and 100 people visiting that site, now I know I only have 50 potential opportunities. If I have a 1 to 3% conversion rate, is that enough business to be able to pay the bills? So those metrics, when somebody lands on your site and they bounce instantaneously, A, they couldn't figure out who you were, what you do, where you do it, how to reach you, what other people think about you. Maybe your reviews were lacking or poor. Maybe your social media accounts were outdated and the last time they published content was 5 years ago, so they think you're closed. All of those different elements from your branding to the design and construction of your site, to the development, which is impacted by load times, speed, quality of the images, graphics, text. You know, does it look like a canned template with the same yellow hat on every single person and they're unsure if this is a one-person company or, you know, if they're going to be taken care of? And then same thing with, you know, conversion techniques. If you make it difficult for customers to reach you, so forget about answering the phones for now. Before that, do you allow people to do business with you after hours? If you think about when consumers are able to take care of their honey to-do list, which HVAC repair and installation projects fall into that, you know, that's typically not going to be Monday through Friday from 9 to 5. So if your Google business listing says you close at 4 o'clock and it's 5:01 and or 7 p.m. and they go searching and it says closed, then you have a bounce. If they land on your website and the only option is a contact form, there's no way to chat, I can't text, I can't click to call, then you have additional higher bounce rate. If they're looking for pricing and they want to be able to get an estimate or do some research, do you have e-commerce functionality that's allowing a consumer to do the same research that they do in every other area of their life? They're used to going online, doing their homework, figuring out how much things cost, if they can apply for financing, finding all that information out, and then making a more educated decision. So if they're looking for that kind of information and it doesn't exist, then you likely are going to have an increased bounce rate. So, I mean, there's hundreds of things that can be part of a bounce rate, but your brand, your design, the development of the site, the load time, the maintenance on your website, your server speeds, there's a lot to making sure that the money that you put into, for example, search engine marketing or paid advertising or any other mediums, that you're not losing that investment because you have other errors and omissions that have happened throughout the process.
Right. So we got them to the site. We got them to stay there because they like what they see and it's easy for them to be able to do it. The next thing is to actually convert that, right? To convert that into an opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. So you want to give people options. Like I said, you want to give them the ability to fill out a form. You want ability to text, to be able to click to call, to be able to chat, to be able to convert via an e-commerce conversion platform. Those are the top five primaries. There's also, you know, quick conversion things you can do if you're trying to get somebody to download, for example, a promo or fill out a form to get access to a $79 tune-up or whatever your promotions are as well. But in addition to that, once you have a lead, your response times have to be immediate. We're in an environment where we're all trained to be able to get extremely quick response times on everything that we do. In fact, we're looking for immediate. So as you're looking at your operation, you know, what kind of emphasis and efforts and systems and automation are you put into place, as well as how are you training your people to be able to ensure that any prospect that comes to your website has an immediate response? That's going to be first, because, man, you're looking at a matter of minutes before they're on to the next search. They click back, they're on to another page submitting another form.
So if one of our listeners went to the HVAC Learning Campus and they went to the Ask a Coach feature, could they request a strategy session so they could see what sort of traffic they have coming to their actual site today? They could see what that, they could understand better what that bounce rate is, and they could also understand, you know, what tools they have in place to actually make conversions. Is that something that you guys would do?
All day, every day. So not only that, but on top of that, When we sit down to do an analysis, we're going to do a deep dive into their website and provide them with a structured inventory analysis of their website. So if you think of your website like a digital store, and if you were to go over and make a list, you were going into business, you're creating a store, you were going to create your inventory list of these are all the things I want to sell. We're going to help you identify what's the inventory list look like on your website. Most of the time, like 99% of the time, when we do the structured inventory list of what's on their website, they're missing 2/3, if not more, all the things they want to sell in all the areas they want to sell them. They just don't exist. You can't sell something that doesn't exist. So that's first. What do you want to sell? Where do you want to sell it? Does it exist in the store? The second thing we're going to do is analyze traffic. So we're going to identify what kind of organic traffic do you have coming to your website? Organic meaning people that don't already know your company name. So I'm not talking about those that saw your truck, saw a magnet on their house. They're already a customer. They're in a maintenance agreement. Those are branded searches. That's a very different process. But who doesn't already know you that's going online doing a search and landing on your website? So we need to figure out what kind of opportunity do you have. I would say out of the last 100 strategy sessions that I've personally done, the average is around 100 visitors. 100 visitors, 50% bounce rate, 1% to 3% conversion rate, which would be really good for most of these websites. That's not enough business to grow, let alone survive, especially in a down economy. The second thing that we're going to do is do a market analysis. So a market analysis is going to determine what are all the cities you want to do business in. As we drill into each one of those cities, we're going to determine how many households are in that city. How many houses do we have to deal with? From there, we're going to look at how many estimated repairs, with a repair happening every 2.25 years, how many estimated replacements, with replacements happening every 10 years, what percent of those replacements are proactive consumers. That comes from a demand forecast report. So a demand forecast report is going to identify how are consumers searching. Are they looking for AC installation, furnace installation, heater installation, heat pump installation, ductless installation, or replacement? Or are those types of searches, proactive searches, significantly less than repair options? So that's the reason that's important is each one of these contractors has to understand what percent of the total opportunities for installations are coming because of a proactive consumer, somebody that doesn't have anything broken, but they're interested in upgrading their system to a higher efficiency system. They want to save on monthly. They want their systems to match, like me. They don't want an ugly rust bucket sitting in their backyard, right? So those are proactive searches. And then secondly is going to be reactive. That's how many of those installation opportunities are only going to come from a repair episode. And that's an important number to know, because if your team is only going out on the job, turning a wrench, trying to fix a problem every time they go out, and their percent of repair opportunities converted into new installation or upgrade opportunities is low, then you're going to be missing a huge portion of the pie that's out there. Versus if you understand that 80% of the upgrade or change out or installation opportunities are going to come from a repair episode, then you're going to get really, really good at teaching your team. Every time they go out, they're going to give them the option. Here's the option to repair. Here's the option to upgrade your system to a higher efficiency system. Here's the option with financing. And they're going to do that each and every time. So comprehensive evaluation each and every time. Repair and replace options include financing every single time. That's going to increase your opportunities for new business. So all of that is part of our strategy session, because we really want to make sure that, you know, whether you do business with us or not, you're going to leave more educated. You're going to leave with data and information that you can make decisions on. And you're going to be able to see why the things you've been investing in haven't worked. So it's not a distaste in, I hate SEO, or I don't like marketing agencies. Might just merely not be, you know, understanding that you don't have the assets that are necessary to be able to support a strategy that's going to get you new business. And so that's what people come out at. You know, when people sit down for these strategy sessions with us, they're blown away. I have thousands of recordings where people are like, I've met with hundreds of agencies, I've met with quote unquote the top agencies in the industry, and I've never felt more comfortable in understanding where I made mistakes, you know, with other companies that I've worked with, you know, what's being neglected right now, what's not being done that should be done, and what's working that I should be investing more into. And I think those really help people make better decisions.
So you brought up an interesting point. You said that the consumer demand is dropping, and we We do recognize that a lot of systems that were going to be replaced maybe this year or next year or even the couple years beyond that were actually pulled forward during COVID. Mm-hmm. People had a lot, had extra cash because they weren't doing the family vacations and a lot of stuff was put on hold. And so they invested in their home. And so we saw a lot of that business pulled forward. We see the demand dropping. How do contractors ensure that they're less impacted by that reduction in demand?
Yeah, that is a really good point. So this is the pie, right? And right now, the majority of every contractor, if not all of them, are only operating, seeing this much of the sliver of the pie. So let's say the pie shrinks and you don't do anything different, then you're going to feel that. You're going to feel the pain of having a contracting market. However, you still have 98% of the pie you haven't touched. Right. So there's no reason for any company to actually feel a contracting market if they make decisions that are going to acquire additional market share in the areas they want to serve. So this is the time where, you're working with an agency through COVID, things were blowing and going, your phones were ringing off the hook, people are upgrading, they're bringing their kids home, they're making an office at home, they're building a schoolhouse in their backyard, they're modifying their garage, they were doing all of these things, right? And so it felt like what you were doing was working. And I see that constantly. Now that the tables have turned, and these are different times, it's becoming very, very apparent that the agencies that were providing all of the leads during that time may have not been doing the heavy lifting, that it may have just been the market. So now's the time to buckle down and really identify what are the services that I want to sell, what are the target markets that I want to sell them, where is the demand for consumers, and am I going to implement a modified strategy to be able to acquire a larger piece of that pie? Because the pie can get smaller all day long, but as long as you expand the piece of the pie that you are acquiring, you're sitting pretty. I mean, our clients are growing. I've got clients that are having open houses and recruiting events with 200 people lined up around the door for the recruiting event because they have such a high lead volume. They're expanding their digital store, adding additional inventory, putting themselves in position in front of consumers who are searching for things they want to sell in markets that they want to do business, and they're growing. I mean, the only clients that we have that are not growing right now are the ones that are not making the decisions to do the things necessary to grow. So, and they are feeling the contraction. I see it every day. And the difference is those that understand, when you really understand the technology, the structure, the architecture of a website, understand how consumers search, when they search, where they search, and you position yourself in front of them, you can make any kind of money you want. And in fact, I think right now, this is the time when all of those who are making the right decisions to expand their digital infrastructure, increase total visibility in front of a larger group of consumers who are buying today, I mean, they're going to take over. Those are the ones that are acquiring the small companies. My largest companies right now, these contractors are looking at how do I identify these contractors doing nothing that have an existing database of customers, and I'm going to grab those as a database grab and tuck them into my company. How do I acquire companies that have a semi-decent brand with a little bit of marketing, and I make them a standalone brand and come in and purchase those companies and be able to acquire them and make them a pillar in a particular community and tuck in other companies underneath them? And what companies do I want to purchase outright and have them become, one of the primary brands that I want in a market? So this is not a time for being concerned about the contraction. It's a time for taking action so that you don't have to be concerned.
So just to finish that thought out, what are the most aggressive strategies that I can do as an HVAC contractor to increase my market share?
So that's a loaded question. And it's a loaded question because I can't see your P&L. I can't see your chart of accounts. I don't know what kind of money you have in the bank. So I have a challenge with that. Technically, if money grew on trees, I'm just going to pretend like you have cash. The number one thing that you can do is going to be starting with the data analysis and identifying where are the highest demand or what are the highest demand search terms in markets that have the least competition. And your version and my version of competition, or a contractor and my version's competition, is very different. They're looking at how many companies are in that market. When you're evaluating digital competition, you go to Google, you do a search, AC repair in blank, choose Orlando. And then AC repair in Sarasota, for example, or in Paris. When you do that, in the top left-hand corner, it's going to show you the total number of competitive pages. That's what competition is online. So the larger the number of competitive pages, the longer it's going to take you to cash flow. The lower the number of competitive pages, highest amount of demand, those are your money makers. Mm-hmm. So it's like putting a cash machine on each street. Is I want to put a cash machine for AC repair in this particular city, high demand, low competition, that's a money maker in 3 to 6 months. So you have to be comfortable investing for 3 to 6 months for that specific page in order to generate cash once it's ranking on page one of Google. So you got to you got to have a meeting with yourself and say, I'm comfortable investing for 3 to 6 months for AC repair in this particular location in order to have a new cash machine on that. So that's one, is expanding the number of pages on your website by service, by location, in order to be able to increase total visibility. Number two is going to be resolving all of the branding and design issues that you have going on across the board, because getting in front of these consumers, like you said earlier, if they flip, if they bounce, it's not going to help you. So you don't want to spend a tremendous amount of money on marketing and advertising if your brand is trash. Like, I don't have a better term for that, right? We've got to make sure from a branding strategy that you stand out in the marketplace as a reputable brand, which is going to be critical. Number two is going to be put everything you have on those reviews. You got to come back with high-rated reviews. So you can, again, invest all you want in marketing and advertising. If the reviews are null or negative across the board, if you're sitting at a 3.0 review rank on your Google business profile, you're likely not going to even get the call for the leads that are coming to your website. So there's some foundational things that have to be fixed. Branding, your reviews, making sure you're active on social media. If those things are in alignment, then you can start to leverage search engine optimization to get in front of consumers that are typically not going to be, you know, as big a price shoppers as your paid ads calls. They're a little more loyal, if loyal is a term at all I can use, but a little more, you know, you're likely not going to pull into the driveway and there's five other trucks sitting in the driveway at the exact same hour doing the same quote. So search engine optimization is the best tactic to be able to drive new business. And when you accompany that with paid advertising, if you have the budget, positioning within your marketplace, whether it's billboards, TV, and radio, and so forth, canvassing, and then have a complete strategy that's dedicated to your existing database of customers and prospects. That would be utilizing email marketing, text marketing. If you didn't collect email and texts, then we need to look at having a print campaign to be able to acquire. So we can send out a print campaign to your entire database, have them enter to win, and maybe it's a Yeti cooler or something. Collect those phone numbers and those email addresses, get permission through a double opt-in to make sure that we can market to them, and then start with, really prompt and perfectly timed email and text campaigns to be able to get existing customers to get you out to do maintenance, do tune-ups on the systems, and possibly get information on an upgrade as well.
Jennifer, thank you so much for, we've covered a lot of ground today. Yes. We've covered a lot of different topics. Do you have a final thought that you'd like to share with our viewers?
I think my final thought really is that I know that a lot of y'all have been burned. A lot of you all are uncomfortable with digital marketing because you feel like, you've spent money and haven't got results. So if we can back up a little bit and just level the playing field and let's dive into the data and spend time. We've got an amazing course, a digital marketing course, mm-hmm. that's offered through HVAC Learning Campus, where we do a deep dive into this over a day or 2-day training period. even in an hour, you're going to come out more educated, and you're going to come out understanding how all of these complicated things are connected and how you're playing that game today. Once you start, having these light bulb moments where you start connecting these dots, the game changes, because our clients who have been with us and understand how everything's connected, when they call in, they're like, I want to make more money selling this and this. Let's add a sales page. Let's start an SEO plan. I know it's going to be 6 to 12 months for that particular phrase in that location. I also have a job description ready to go. I built it on ChatGPT based on our last training that we had. Let's do it. And, they're able to not just let us know what do I want to do, but they also know I'm going to start cash flowing on that. And based on other examples of other sales pages that are generating $1 million in revenue, and they only spend $2,400 to be able to get that page ranking and keep it ranking on an annual basis, it makes it really easy to make decisions when you understand the technical aspects of it, you understand what your costs are, and you understand how to be able to track revenue so that you can actually calculate your ROI. You won't look at marketing as an expense ever again once that's in place. You'll know, I want to make more money, and let's go get it.
Thank you so much, Jennifer.
Thank you, Ben.